in value, noblegoldinvestments.com.
Can thieves really steal your home's title? Take it from this thief who stole over 150 homes and was sentenced to 25 years in prison. This is why you need Home Title Lock.
Nobody thinks that I can take their house and borrow against the house. Oh, no, I have title insurance for that. No, it's in my name, or he would have to get some special document. They would call me. You know, nobody's calling you. After I've stolen the title, borrowed against it, or sold the property, or done whatever I've done with it, it's 60 to 90 days to even figure out that they're the victim of this crime. You know, by that point, you start getting foreclosure notices, and you realize you've got four mortgages on your house. Not only that, you don't even own your home anymore. It's not even in your name.
Heard enough? Go to HomeTitleLock.com and register your address to see if you're already a victim. And enter code RADIO for 30 free days of protection. That's code RADIO at HomeTitleLock.com. HomeTitleLock.com, code RADIO for 30 free days of protection. That's code RADIO at HomeTitleLock.com.
Listen to what Dave Ryan says about Andro 400.
Andro 400, I really love it. It's amazing to me that I feel so good. I've lost 50 pounds. I was a size 38 waist. I've gone down to a 32 waist. My mood has changed. I don't get stressed out. It gave me so much more energy. Energy to walk. Energy to play sports. Everything is starting to work again. It feels like I'm 25. My wife is happy. I'm so happy. I'm just a completely different man. I'm taking this stuff to the grave with me.
Men, have you lost energy and gained belly fat? Are you feeling stressed out? Fight back with Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to increase your testosterone. For over a decade, Andro 400 has helped men lose belly fat, gain energy, and feel 20 years younger. Go to Andro400.com. Andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. European Union leaders have agreed on a set of sanctions against Belarus, including banning its airlines from using the airspace and airports of the 27-nation bloc. The action comes amid fury over the forced diversion of a passenger jet flying between two EU countries in order to arrest an opposition journalist. In Washington, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the U.S. condemns the Belarus flight diversion.
Obviously, we're outraged, as the international community has expressed, and we have expressed as well. And we think this was a brazen affront to international peace and security by the regime.
The jet landed in Belarus after a fake bomb threat was made to the Ryanair jet, which was en route from Greece to Lithuania. Officials in both the EU and the United States have demanded the release of the journalist, Roman Protasevich, a key foe of authoritarian Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko. President Biden is condemning recent violence against Jewish communities in the United States and abroad. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
Writing on Twitter, the president said the recent attacks on the Jewish community are despicable and they must stop. He condemned the hateful behavior which took place amid the conflict between Israel and Hamas. Physical or verbal assaults were reported against Jews in New York City, Los Angeles, and South Florida during the 11 days of fighting in the Mideast. Greg Clugston, Washington.
President Biden is doubling U.S. emergency spending to help communities prepare for hurricanes and other extreme weather events. Biden traveled to FEMA headquarters in Washington to get an update on preparations for the hurricane season. The $1 billion in U.S. emergency spending is a small smack fraction of what the U.S. spends on weather-related disasters. Last year, disasters including wildfires, hurricanes, and snowstorms had a cumulative price tag of nearly $100 billion. On Wall Street, the Dow by 186 points. More at townhall.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900.
I'm Mark Hutchison, founding partner of the law firm of Hutchison & Steffen. We're the Nevada law firm focused on helping businesses do business, especially when governmental obstacles get in the way. As someone who has been heavily involved with state government for many years, I know how government works and doesn't work for business. With so many rules, procedures, and regulations, Nevada businesses are almost certain to become entangled with government at some point. Bottom line, if your business gets caught up in the quagmire of a dispute with government, you can count on Hutchison & Steffen to help you navigate the rules, procedures, and regulations of federal, state, county, or city government. When you have a dispute with the government, we are the go-to firm for Nevada businesses. Whether it's facing the prospect of a proceeding before a board, commission, or agency, or finding yourself in court with the government on the other side, our team will be on your side. Call Hutchison & Steffen, 702-385-2500, or visit hutchlegal.com. That's 702-385-2500, or visit hutchlegal.com.
It's 3:04. This is your KMZQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. Metropolitan Police Department Sheriff Joe Lombardo confirmed to the Review Journal that he will run for governor of Nevada in 2022 as a Republican. A formal campaign announcement will be made in the next few weeks. The confirmation came after Lombardo confirmed his candidacy in an interview with KRNV News Channel 4 in Reno. A scheduled Tuesday meeting of the Clark County Republican Party's Central Committee has been canceled due to security concerns. The Review Journal reported that a group affiliated with the Proud Boys was attempting to elect a slate of leaders in the county party and had threatened several prominent Republicans. Clark County's GOP vice chair, former Assemblyman Stephen Silverkraus, mentioned the threats were made against party officials, elected leaders, as well as a plan to physically block the entryway into the party's chosen meeting venue. Well, Phil Mickelson not only struck a blow for 50-somethings with his win yesterday in the PGA Championship, but the fan-popular lefty dealt a big blow to the sports books. That's right. Two $100 bets at 200 to 1. Netted $20,000 each.
KCQ On-Time Traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Right now, come in for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95.
Well, look for some reduced speeds right now on the 15 northbound at Oakey, southbound at Charleston. You're averaging about 35 miles per hour through there. Got a crash at the Spaghetti Bowl. That's 515 westbound at Las Vegas Boulevard, and that is there, partially blocking the right lane.
I want you to know that the movement we started is only just beginning. There's never been anything like it. The belief that a nation must serve its citizens will not dwindle, but instead only grow stronger by the day. As long as the American people hold in their hearts deep and devoted love of country, then there is nothing that this nation cannot achieve. Check it out. I go from this majestic place with a loyal and joyful heart, an optimistic spirit, and a supreme confidence that for our country and for our children, the best is yet to come.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It is live and local for a Monday, May 24th, I hope you had a great weekend. Congratulations to Phil Mickelson. Lefty wins at age 50. The oldest player to win a major. That's incredible. That congratulations. Lefty has surprised us again, and also the sports books, for that matter, as Gentleman Jim was telling you. Always good to have Victor Jakes on with us, the three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. His column over the weekend about the possibility of the Oakland Athletics coming to Las Vegas. And we'll find out. We'll find out if it's worth subsidizing a move of that team to Las Vegas. Victor, always good to have you with us. You have a good weekend?
It was all right. Thank you. I had a bit of a bug floating around the house, but back through to a Monday.
Wow. Wow. Let me just ask you, there's a story that's going around, and it's kind of bizarre, this Clark County Republican Party having to cancel tomorrow's membership meeting. What do you know about it? I know that the RJ has been reporting a lot on it today.
Well, I think stories like this are why most people stay out of county politics. There is a fight, it seems, between two factions of the Clark County Party, and there are accusations going around of you know, one side part of the Proud Boys, and the other side is having their access denied by, you know, basically the establishment that is worried they're going to outvote them, and it looks pretty messy, you know, messy in kind of the way that something can only get messy when the stakes are very low, which describes a lot of party politics. So State Senator Kerry Buck, I think, is leading the quote unquote establishment wing, and I don't know if that would be a fair description to Senator Buck. And there are some others who, you know, apparently think she's too much of the mainstream and are wanting to oppose her. And obviously, as I'm sure you know, the meeting apparently this week has been canceled over concerns about violence. So it's a mess all around.
And who is representing the Trump wing of the party? Is that the establishment, or is that the Proud Boys?
You know, I actually think everyone's claiming to be the Trump wing of the party. I read through the news articles. I didn't get the impression that any, you know, this was, you know, about Trump or not about Trump. I'm sure each side, you know, is happy to claim his mantle, but I don't think it's fitting that rubric.
Let me ask you, if they have to cancel their meeting because the Proud Boy there was fear of some sort of security breach, that's a little scary. That's hitting a little close to home, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously that's very concerning. No one wants any sort of violence. You know, and there shouldn't be any violence in a political meeting in the United States of America. And so, you know, there are those concerns, and if they're, you know, legitimate, that's very concerning. And hopefully they'll, you know, figure out a way to have this meeting at an appropriate venue with, and you know, and there won't be any threats of violence on any side.
If there is violence, I'm sure that Sheriff Joe Lombardo will be involved with Metro, and he's running for governor. In an interview up north, and I believe in a conversation with the RJ, he has confirmed that he is going to be running for governor. First of all, is he really a Republican?
Well, I mean, he's certainly registered as a Republican, to the best of my knowledge. He's spoken at Republican groups for years going back. I think, you know, if the question is he a conservative on different policy issues? I don't think we know. I think that's going to be one of the things that Republican voters need to learn over the next few months, is where the sheriff stands on issues, not just law enforcement issues, obviously, but, you know, education issues, tax issues, social issues. You know, what does he stand for?
Well, and more than that, though, if he survives a primary, and there will be a healthy primary, I assume, if he does survive that, how will he play in a general election campaign where, you know, the opposition research is going to be going like crazy trying to find out every bad thing he's ever done?
Yeah, I think it's very important that any candidate get vetted. I know, you know, consultants really don't like having contested primaries. I think that fear is a little overblown. I mean, if you look at the 2016 Republican presidential nomination, Donald Trump emerged from a field of 17 candidates. This last presidential year, you know, Joe Biden had the competitive primary. If you look at 2018, it was Governor Steve Sisolak who had the competitive primary. So I don't worry about a competitive primary. I don't think that's going to set anyone back. And I will tell you something I'm hearing that I have not seen reported out there. I am hearing former Senator Dean Heller is telling people he's running for governor. And he would shake up the race dramatically if he was to get in.
Wow.
Yeah, I was stunned to hear it. I thought, man, you know, you get to retirement, you might as well just enjoy it. But I have heard that from a couple of folks. And, you know, obviously nothing official yet, but that's something to keep an eye on, because I think he would probably, assuming he can raise any sort of money, and you've got to think that he would be able to, having been involved in politics for 30 years, I think he would become the instant front runner.
Now, my question is, how can Dean Heller get elected statewide when he clearly has the reputation as being a never-Trumper?
Well, he almost did it in 2018. I mean, I think what he would hope to do is basically just ride a kind of anti-Democrat, anti-Biden wave that is likely to come in 2022. And, you know, if that wave is strong enough, I think it's going to lift Republicans throughout the state, and certainly the ones at the top of the ticket. And, you know, I think there's a question is can he make it through the Republican primary with that never Trumper reputation, and that'll be a little more difficult.
What's going on the Democrat side? Will there be a Sisolak primary?
You know, I don't think so. You know, it's so funny. You know, during the pandemic, I kept hearing things. Oh, Sisolak's not going to run. The Democrats don't want Sisolak to run, and anyway, it always struck me as a little odd. I mean, he's raised tons of money. His approval ratings never tanked. Certainly not the way that they would if I was, you know, the only one responding to the poll. So I think he's in a pretty good spot. I think, you know, the biggest headwind he faces is just, you know, Joe Biden being president and Republicans being more motivated to turn out in 2022. So, I would be surprised if he gets a serious, primary. You know, maybe Marilyn Kirkpatrick, Clark County Commission Chair, decides just to run for, you know, the fun of it, to raise her name ID. But I really think he, you know, it'd be very, very unlikely if he was not the candidate for the Democrats.
Who else in the Republican Party? We keep hearing about Mark Hutchison. We keep hearing about Mark Amaday. Would Heller's move into the race chase a guy like Mark Amaday away, who is highly popular up north, not known all that well down here?
You know, what I hear about Representative Amaday is simply he just, you know, either can't raise the money or isn't willing to put the work in to raise the money. And basically, you know, just kind of talks about it every 4 years, and then, you know, he would take it if it was handed to him, but it's never going to be handed to him, so he's never actually going to run. I think he would be an interesting candidate. I think, especially if Heller doesn't run, you know, I think he'd have a really good chance. I think his path gets a lot more narrow if Dean gets in. But I think, you know, I just don't think he's going to be willing to raise the money, and I think he's just going to, you know, at some point, you know, go back to CD2 and run from there.
More coming up with Victor Jenks, the 3-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. This is the final week of two entities in Southern Nevada, our school system and the 81st Nevada Legislature. We'll talk about both of them coming up in our next segment. Stick around. More to do as we continue. I'm Kevin Wall. Great to have you with us on this Monday edition of Live and Local on AM 670 KMZQ.
New time, same great shows. Mike Gallagher wakes you up morning 6 to 9. Heidi Harris engages you 9 to noon. And hear the next big thing with Charlie Kirk noon to 3. AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
For over 30 years, Ichabod's Lounge has provided incredible food, gaming, and nightly entertainment. Hey, Kevin Wall here. They've been here to serve you through good times and bad. Now, a lot of Vegas restaurants have been forced to close due to the governor's latest restrictions. But Francois and his amazing staff at Ichabod's Lounge aren't going anywhere, regardless of what may lie ahead for us. And at Ichabod's Lounge, your safety is their number one priority. So you'll see bartenders and servers wiping down services again and again. Even in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, Ichabod's is ready to serve you. But they know that some of you are reluctant to get out, and they get it. That's why Ichabod's Lounge features their incredible menu for both dine-in and carry-out. Call 702-451-2323. 702-451-2323. Ichabod's Lounge, featuring old-school Vegas atmosphere and one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas. Ichabod's Lounge, open 24-7. Vintage Vegas dining, gaming lounge, and piano bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors, and I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cyclery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid bikes, mountain bikes, and road bikes. We also have a wide variety of the latest electric bikes, which affords the opportunity for those who want to ride a bike again but have some physical limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. And for those of you interested in a guided biking or hiking outdoor tour, visit EscapeAdventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. That's 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215.
Layoffs, forced early retirement, more of a reality in 2020, and it's hitting close to home. It's time to take control and stay on your retirement trajectory. Shore up your strategies with a written retirement plan, a financial roadmap from Coach Pete and the team. This is a limited time offer for a no-cost, no-obligation consultation. Call 800-661-7383, 800-661-7383, or text COACH to 21000, COACH to 21000. The first 10 callers will receive a copy of Coach Pete's book, 7 Baby Steps to a Ridiculously Reliable Retirement Income.
Laborers Union Local 872 is committed to ensuring the safety and health of their workforce. Here are five recommendations to keep you and everyone safe on the job site. Perform a self-assessment before arriving on the job site. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Keep your distance. Adhering to the regulations and limit large group interactions. Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
You're listening to Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Final week of the Nevada legislature. And the bill everybody's been talking about, AB 321, would essentially... Well, it would end up making AB 4 from the special session, which brought us ballot harvesting and stay-at-home voting, would essentially institutionalize all of those. And I have not heard anything today, but today is supposedly D-Day for that bill. Victor Jakes joining us, the three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. What do you know about it?
Well, as you said, it's a bad bill. It would make permanent a bunch of the terrible provisions from last summer. including ballot harvesting. And I don't have any doubt they're gonna see it through. I think it's just a matter of, you know, of timing issues. I see it's on the agenda for tomorrow at 8 a.m. on Ways and Means, and I think, you know, what you're going to see is it's going to get pushed out of the Assembly, having spent, you know, 115 days on the Assembly side, and then it's going to go through the Senate in about 5 minutes. So I think, you know, Democrats have made it clear that, you know, undermining election integrity was something they wanted to do, and I think they're going to do it.
Will it make it more difficult for Republicans to win in the future?
Well, I mean, I think the question is, the, you know, which office and what. And, I, you know, it makes elections less secure. I mean, when you mail ballots out to everyone, as solicited or not, a lot of those ballots end up in the trash. We know signature verification is a complete joke. And so it makes it more likely that dishonest people are able to rig the election or rig an election. And I think people have to understand what that means. It doesn't mean that, oh, they go to the computer and they, you know, they say, well, this is how many votes we want this candidate to have, and this is how many votes we want this candidate to have. What it means is that you can shift the margin. You know, you can take a state assembly race and you can shift 500 votes. And that might be, you know, 2 or 3 percentage points, and it might be the winning margin. And so I think it makes it more likely that dishonest people, or those who are willing to, you know, or campaign operatives who's willing to be dishonest. And I don't think that's necessarily a partisan issue either. I think it makes it more likely that that will be rewarded.
Well, and I've said all along, I've said this to Michael McDonald and to others in the party, and that is, well, if we're going to have ballot harvesting, where is our ballot harvesting operation, and why aren't we bringing 100 ballots in a box to one of the polling places? Why can't we do that?
Yeah, no, I think that's going to be something that Republicans here do. And once that's the rule, you kind of got to play by the rules as they're established. You saw that in California, I believe, that, you know, Republicans in 18 were really opposed to ballot harvesting, didn't participate. And then in 2020, they had, you know, ballot drop boxes in the gun shops and the churches. And they were so successful that the Democrats sued them and said, no, you can't have these ballot drop-off boxes. It's not fair. And so I think that's what happens is, you know, both sides adjust to the political reality and act accordingly. You know, but that doesn't get rid of the fraud concerns, which is, you know, what happens when you mail ballots out to everyone and you don't have any way of knowing who actually returned the ballot. That's still concerning. But yes, Republicans absolutely should engage in ballot harvesting if it's legal.
It's the final week of the legislature. It's also the last week of school, as the Clark County School District will be closing down for the summer. There will be summer school. I don't know if you've seen any testing results, but they've been testing over the last 4 or 5 weeks. What are we finding?
Well, we don't have the results yet. I think it's going to be important to look at those results, see how much damage happened because of distance learning. Because of the school's decision to stay keep shut down. And it's important to look at those results because the district in the next few weeks is going to try and pass a new grading policy that will just completely gut standards in the district, including 50% minimum grades, allowing teachers to give new grades if students, quote-unquote, you know, learn the material after the test. Will the teacher just go back in and change their grade? And so, you know, what you have is you have the district just dumbing down its grading standards, and what I think is just a transparent attempt to avoid the accountability that's going to come when students don't know anything because they've been out of the classroom for 15 months.
And this is going to be at every grade level, is it not, this new grading
exactly.
Policy?
Yeah, this would be a district-wide policy.
Wow.
It wouldn't be, you know, wouldn't be school by school. It wouldn't be even for certain grades. It would be district-wide, and it's a terrifying policy. I mean, you look at it. There'd be no academic penalties for late assignments. You know, the proposal. Someone brought this up over the weekend to me. There'd be no academic penalties for cheating. You know, you couldn't get a zero. You cheat on a test, they catch you. You can't get a zero. You can only get a 50%. And you can always, you know, get your grade changed later because you've learned the material, supposedly. So It's just a complete sham what the school district is doing or trying to do. Hopefully the school board will tell them no way.
So what about promotion? What did they decide, or have they decided on promotion? Is the general policy going to be a second grader becomes a third grader regardless of whether he can read at a first grade level or not?